Last time it happened to me was at Case Western. At Case Western University, I walked into the beginning in Cleveland. I walked into Case Western, there was a group of kids there. I was going there for the yeshiva, and I walked to talk to this group. And as I was leaving, the guy and a girl are standing by the door. It hadn't happened to me in a long time before that. And as I was leaving, I'm walking out. There's a girl, you know, 19 years old, 20 years old. I'm standing by the door, and all of a sudden, the hand. Right? And I'm looking, I shook his hand first. And then the next thing you know, she's putting out her hand. I'm thinking, that's a woman's hand over there, right? You know, I looked at her and I said, well, you know, I don't shake hands with women. So the guy looked at me and he goes, you don't shake hands with women? Cool! I don't know what he was getting. He floored me. It happened to me somewhere in Israel recently. I don't remember where it happened. It happened somewhere. But you can't. You can't. You have to. And that's why after a while, when you're with non-religious relatives, and then you start learning all the tricks. Because some guys always walk around with, when you're a family gathering, walk around with drinks in both hands. Right? So nobody sticks out a hand. Or you walk around with car keys. Right? The minute somebody sticks out a hand, you drop the keys and bend them to pick them up. Right? When you get married, it's a little easier because then your wife runs interference for you. Right? She kind of intercepts. And there's always an aunt or somebody, usually your mother's best friend, who you regard, she's as close as an aunt, like, who just can't keep her hands off of you. Right? And every time she sees you, she's got to give you a big bear hug. Right? And all of it is that you can't. Right? You know, so you have to figure out a way to duck it. Right? The halakha is that you're not allowed to. Right? So all of these things, depending on each person and their level, all these things could count to do a chilasha. Yes.
What about, murder is punching someone by bringing to murder, so it's not that you are kidding, you don't punch this person. Or if you don't,
it's a good question. That's a good question. I don't know where the cutoff line is, but if they say injure them, or you're not allowed to injure somebody. Right? Injuring is an option. You're not allowed to injure. I don't know at what point you can't punch somebody. Right? I mean, most of you guys in the room right now, if somebody gave me that choice, I would definitely punch you. Right? I don't know where the cutoff line is that you're not allowed to, but if it's an injury, it stands about to murder for those, but you're not allowed to go and injure somebody. Somebody says, you know what, cut off his leg or I'll kill you. Right? You're not allowed to do it. Okay? Yeah. Mark, go ahead.
Okay, you were talking about the touching a woman. How does Shlomo fall back in around that particular locker?
Big problem.
I don't know the answer. I just people said he did touch people, and I don't know why. What authority has that?
Big problem. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. Somebody asked him a question. Are you allowed to listen to the music of somebody who is not following the precepts of the Torah? Right. And there is no, that's exactly who they were talking about. Right. Shlomo Carlebach was, unfortunately, one of the tragedies of the Torah. Do you know that Shlomo Carlebach was one of the top Talmidim of Rabbi Aaron Kotler? Aaron Kotler, who founded the Lakewood Yeshiva, Shlomo Carlebach was one of the top Talmidim. And like others in Jewish history, Shlomo Carlebach, he had unlimited potential. If that potential had been channeled in the right direction, and Rabbi Aaron Kotler told him not to go out and do cures the way he was doing it. Right? Shlomo Carlebach was a genius. He was told not to go out and do cures the way he did it. And Shlomo Carlebach said he's going to do it his own way. Right? Well, you see what happens when it's Rabbi Aaron Kotler versus your own, whatever's motivating you, that's what the results are. Right? What the justification is? Who said the justification? Right? That you're talking about a public question. And it's one of the tragedies because that's the reason I say it's a tragedy. Other people have touched women also. The reason it's a tragedy is because you're talking about limitless potential. Right? That potential used properly, he could have been, who knows, he could have been the greatest force in the cure movement. Right? But instead he ended up on the peripheral being, you know, and with a hippie type of thing.
What happened?
Like anybody else. The fact that somebody is doing something improper doesn't mean that there's something good that comes out of it, right? Whatever good came out of it, he gets credit for, right? So, did he have the potential? He clearly had the potential, right? He was Makar of certain people, but then never know, most of the people that he was ever Makar never had anything to do with them after they became from. Right? Because if they're from, they go, hey, how could I have anything to do with this? He's touching women. Right? So, That's the bottom line. And the only reason I'm willing to speak about it is because something like this, which is something that is that one way or another you're going to be hearing about, right? If you haven't heard about already, and what just turns my stomach is that there are a lot of people in the world who don't have the proper hashkafa, who will jump on the bandwagon of anything that sounds good. Well, look at all the good he did, right? And they're missing the point because they don't have proper Torah Hashkafa, right? The proper Torah Hashkafa is that he did not listen to the Gedolei Torah. The Gedolei Torah told him not to do that. He thought he knew better, and he's regarded, from the Torah perspective, he's regarded as a renegade. That is how the Torah views him. I'm not judging him. God has to offer the ultimate judgment of what weighs the good versus the bad, right? But do you want the Torah's view? That's why, look at the position I'm put into. The position I'm put into is, I have to now explain his actions. Right? I can't. Right? I once got on a bus, because I'm wearing a black hat, a couple of people turned to me, right? They're sitting on the bus, and they said to me, so, how come Mashiach hasn't come yet, huh? Right? Now, I'm not from Chabad, right? But look at the position that I'm being put into. Well, if I'm being put into that position, what am I going to do now? I've got to explain my position. But what am I supposed to say to them? Let me tell you something. There's a big difference here. There's Litvak. Let me tell you the whole thing. There's Litvak. Then how about those? All they see is a black hat, a beard. Oh, this is one of these Mashiach thumping people. Right? Well, I'm sorry. Right? I'm sorry. You created a situation where you forced me into a corner. Right? And when a person is forced into a corner, then the line, we have to know, let's toe the line. What's proper, what's appropriate, what's not appropriate. Right? And if it's not appropriate, ultimately, it's a lashon. Every avera that you do, by the way, if an avera is done to spite God, any avera done to spite God is a lashon, potential lashon. If an avera is done out of desire, right? I desire trade food, so I eat the trade food. It's not a lashon. It's an avera, but it's not a lashon. If I do it publicly, or I do it because God said don't eat it, I'm going to eat it, at that point it becomes a delusion.
So
the
Kabbalah would not say
that. I can't judge. In my opinion, it is. In my opinion, it is. To go and kiss women publicly is a delusion.
Right.
There was a method of cure. The truth is that the Gemara says that one of the Amoraim used to pick up at weddings, he used to pick up the bride, and he would carry her around on his shoulders. Right? Could be in her chair. Right? He would pick her up and he would dance with the bride at the wedding. So the Talmidim said to him, what's going on here? Right? So he said to them, right, if you can relate to her like a piece of wood, like I do, right, then you can carry her on her shoulders too. I relate to her like a piece of wood. That's all she is to me, a piece of wood. They're right now. You have to be an Amora to say that about yourself, right? The fact that we're all my brothers, my friends. Like, frankly, I listen to his music. His music's great. Music is inspiring, right? Man, he had a big neshama, right? But there's a big Shulchan Aruch that the neshama has to be controlled by, right? So, what was his method of cure? The method of cure was he was extremely charismatic. Great music, almost every tune that you hear that's sung on Shabbos or any time if I get them singing a song, all of the songs that you hear, all of these songs, almost everything over, I listen to his tapes and I'm thinking to myself, what, this also is his? Right? You hear all these tunes that are coming up since the 60s, right? Almost all Jewish music is from him. Everything you hear, the tunes they sing in Shul, the tunes they sing for Kedusha, all these tunes all come from him. He had a tremendous koach, right? But the koach was not harnessed the way the Gedolei Torah told him to harness it. He was one of Rambam's kavkers, five top Talmidim. Right? So that's and the way he responded to criticism was very often a yeshiva guy who he'd overhear criticizing him. He would say to the yeshiva guy, what gemara are you learning? What daf you on? Yeah. What's the answer? Why does Tosfos contradict Rashi if all the way at the bottom of the daf? Right? Inushas? Cold. Shusas? That's cold. So what? So what? See, in Hoshah, so what? Right? What's that got to do with a method which is not approved? Right? The truth is that if you look in Chumash, this is my own my own idea, but it's true, that it says that Avram and Sarah were involved in Kirub. Right? Avram and Sarah were bringing people near. Now, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Avram drew the men near, and Sarah drew the women near. He brought the men close to God, Sarah brought the women close to God. Why'd Sarah have to go out and why could Avram? I'm sure could have done well with the women also. Right? Exactly the problem. Exactly the danger. Right? Anytime you get into anything like this, right, then you're treading on very thin ice. And the halacha says that if it's not done properly, Rav Aaron Cutler's quote was, Kiruv, you know what Kiruv means? Bringing close. Rav Aaron Cutler said, Kiruv, which is not done, according to halacha, is not Kiruv, it's Rihuv. Rihuv means distancing. Rahlik Rachel. And that's what Rav Aaron Cutler said. Okay? So enough on him. He did do good, and whatever good he did, he has rewarded for. So, that's the story. Okay? That's 295.
Is this the Rabbanan? Because I mean, like, if people hand things to each other so often, you know, why? If it's the Rabbanan to them, okay, but...
That's Machlokas. The Machlokas is, there's Machlokas, the Rambam, I think the Rambam and the Rambam. Whether or not, when the Torah prohibits, any contact with a woman as a nida, right? So the question is the Torah prohibiting actual cohabitation, or is the Torah prohibiting any type of physical contact? Right. So their opinion that they any type, even slightest physical contact is deraisa. Right. But even according to the opinion that says derabbanan, the bottom line is it's derabbanan. Yeah. Right. Now, well, it's only them rabbis. Right. It's derabbanan. Only them rabbis say you
so
can't
I don't
do
know
it.
What it is. I mean, I don't know why it is, because you're just touching someone's hand, something. What's it going to do to your spiritual level? Is what I mean. So if it's the Torah, there's something else about it. But if it's derabbanan,
theoretically, just touching somebody's hand won't do anything to your spiritual level. The problem is that it's going to lead to more things.